So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. You have Joel 2:32 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You have verses like Psalm 9:10 says, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. I don't know if you noticed a theme this morning about the name. We're going to talk about one particular name this morning. And it's my desire as I've been reading through the Old Testament and some of these verses, that Proverbs 18:10 was one that kind of grabbed me, like a month ago. The name of the Lord, Yahweh, is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And I was like, what is it about the name of Yahweh? Or Joel, you know, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Yahweh, will be saved. Or those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Yahweh, have never forsaken those who seek you. There's something about that name. And my desire and prayer this morning is that we would understand more of what God desires for us to know about himself. And this name, Yahweh. So we bow your hearts with me as we begin. Father, we come before you this morning, and we know that there are many things going on in our hearts and our minds as we are all gathered here. Father, we've sung many songs this morning, giving you praise because of your name, who you are. And I ask that as we continue to give you honor and worship this morning, even as we look at some verses in Exodus, that, Father, you would help us to understand more fully your heart. Help us to understand what you're revealing yourself to Moses and Israel, how that connects with us. That, Father, we would leave this place with a greater trust and dependence upon you, our great God, and Jesus, our Savior. So, Father, help us to that end this morning. I ask that the words that are spoken and words that are heard would be true, that you would let anything that is not true to not be remembered. Father, we want to honor you this morning. So that's my heart desire. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, names. What's in a name? So how many of you have named something? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Go ahead. Go raise. It's okay. You can do that in church. You can raise two hands if you want because you've named more than two things. Yeah, naming children is pretty amazing. Names carry a lot of significance, but it seems like in our culture today, not so much. I mean, have you notice some of the baby names today that people are naming kids? Don't even know what it means. They just kind of throw some sounds together and just kind of, you know, throw it together. Anyone have a name that your name has, like, personal family significance? Just raise your hand if you do, like, family. So, okay, a few of you. One of our children, I won't mention Taylor's name, but she is named after Mindy's grandfather, Grandpa Taylor, was just a godly, godly man, and he had passed away around the time, you know, that she was born, and so we named her after Grandpa Taylor because of who he was. I mean, he was just a humble. I had the opportunity to get to know him a little bit. You know, Mindy, you know, grew up with him, and you know, he was a man who came to know Jesus in the middle of his life, and the transformation in his life, and God took him and just worked in his life. And at the funeral, I didn't get a chance to go. Mindy went, and you know, some of the comments was that you had to step up to engage this humble man. He just was a servant, and so we named our daughter after him. Plus, it began with the letter T, which was pretty convenient, because we kind of got into that theme of the T's. But names are significant. So, if you were going to get into a fight, someone was coming after you and was going to fight you, are you going to find your friend named Tiny or your friend named Tank? Right? I mean, names are significant, right? You drop something behind the couch. You're not going to grab Tank. Hey, Tank, get back. Hey, Tiny, come here. Come here. Can you get back there? See, names have meaning, but the meaning often today is gets kind of lost. But you know, back in ancient times, and especially with Israel, names were super significant. Names carried a lot of weight. The name described the person's character. Names, you know, their authority, their history, their lineage, some names. And we see this a little bit today. So, I mean, how many Benedict Arnold's children do you know today, right? We don't know very many. Or who's named their kid Hitler, right, in the last, you know, 70 years? Nobody. Probably 10 years ago, if I were to say the name Trump, probably wouldn't trigger too many people. But in the last 10 years, if I say the name Trump, even when I said Trump, some of you are like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot attached to that name today. Trump, isn't there? Because of what's happened in the last 10 years. You see, names, the meaning grows over time as the name begins to represent a person and their character and their deeds and what they have done. As I was reading through the Old Testament, you know, earlier this year and looking at Exodus and some of these verses, I got stuck on the name Yahweh. If you have a Bible in front of you, oftentimes in our English versions in the Old Testament, the name Yahweh is translated Lord with a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So that's how we typically know in our English translations as we're kind of reading through there that it is referencing the name Yahweh. And, so I was reading that, and any guesses how many times Yahweh is mentioned in the Old Testament? What do you think? So we start at like over, under 1,000. So over 1,000, thumbs up, under, okay. All right, so 2,000. 2,000, we got a few down. It's more. 3,000. Down, up, down. 4,000. 4, 5. Got a few thumbs. It's more. 6. I got to go to two hands. All right. over 7,000 times in the Old Testament, Yahweh is mentioned. The Lord's name is mentioned. That's pretty significant. That is pretty significant. Now, why? Why is that? Why is this name so important? If you turn with me back to Exodus chapter 3, just want to look at sort of the origin story, if you will, of the name Yahweh. It's Yahweh, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the name was familiar to them, but it was just kind of a passing name, not the significance that that grew here out of Exodus. So Exodus chapter 3, you have Moses, and Moses is 80 years old. He is, you know, watching over the sheep for his father-in-law Jethro. He's kind of taking care of the sheep. Now, why is he out there? Well, it's because he had run away right from Egypt. Most of you are familiar with the story that God's people ended up in Egypt. You know, Jacob, who God turned his name to Israel, his 12 sons and families went down to Egypt. And over 400 years, they multiplied and they multiplied and they multiplied. And a new pharaohs came in to reign, and so they didn't know the history there, and so they started to oppress God's people. So for 400 years, they were being oppressed and basically turned into, you know, slaves for Egypt to, you know, all the things going on there to build and everything. And so Moses was God's choice to be the one that God would use to deliver God's people out of Egypt, just as God had promised. God had promised this all the way back in Genesis 15 when he made that covenant with Abraham. He said that, you know, your descendants will go down to, you know, to a foreign land and they'll be there for a set amount of time, and when that time is up, I will bring them back to the promised land. I mean, God had already said this. Isn't that amazing? Well, that's just amazing. But the time had come, and so Moses was that, and, you know, Pharaoh was, you know, getting, you know, trying to kill all the Egyptian babies, and, you know, Moses' mom put him in a little basket, and, you know, and Pharaoh's daughter found him and say, oh, cute little baby. Honestly, I mean, babies are just cute. And so she wanted to take him into her own, you know, household, and so, you know, she did that. So Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. He grew up with the best education and the best everything for 40 years. And, you know, as it came to pass, he recognized that, you know, his lineage, he was Hebrew, were being oppressed. And so he killed a man and it got found out and he fled Egypt. And now for 40 years, he is sort of in the, you know, Sinai Peninsula there up, you know, up that way, met a wife, a family, working for his father-in-law, and so for 40 years he's been shepherding sheep. So he's out with the sheep one day, and it's very, very typical, right? I mean, if you want to get a guy's attention, you can use food or fire, right? If he's full, fire works every time. I mean, at least this is my experience. When I'm driving down the interstate, I see smoke. I'm like, ooh, fire. I mean, I just want to go look. And so God has a bush that's on fire. And Moses says, hey, I want to go check this out. I want to go check this out. Right? He goes over there, and lo and behold, it is the God of his forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God has this conversation with Moses. Look at verse 9. God says, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Now, what an amazing question that is. Like, who am I? I mean, was there anyone on the earth that was more groomed by God for this task? I mean, is there anyone that grew up in Pharaoh's household, knew everything about Egypt, but also knew about how to shepherd and how to take care of and to nurture? I mean, God had groomed him specifically for this. God sovereignly, in the events of Moses' life, for this. But Moses is like, I don't think I can do it. Now, your response and my response would probably be different than God's response. Look at what God says to him, verse 12. And God says to Moses, God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. Well, I just can't do it. I will be with you. It's not going to work. Well, I'll be with you. That was his response. Does it matter how skilled you are if God is with you? Does it matter what mistakes you did or didn't make in the past if God is with you? And Moses says, verse 13, he's like, if I go down there and they say, hey, you know, what are you talking about? If I say like, hey, guys, listen, the God of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he met with me and he said, I'm supposed to come down here because we're leaving. And they asked me, so what is his name? What should I say? Now, why is Moses asked this question? Why is that? Because every culture had their gods, right? I mean, I bet you in here, some of us can even name some of the gods of ancient Egypt, right? I mean, we know what some of their, I mean, they had hundreds of gods over the years, and they would evolve, and you know, some would be birthed through other gods, and some would die off. But in Egypt, all their gods had names. They all had names. In fact, every culture, you go into the land of Canaan, the Philistines, their gods had names. Every gods had names. But the God of the Hebrews, he was the God of our forefathers. But what was his name? What was his name? We can't go down to Egypt and say, hey, our God wants us. But if he doesn't have a name, what is his name? And so you get to verse 14. God says to him, he says, here's my name. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Verse 15, God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. The Lord, the root of that word has the root of, I am, or I be, or I exist. It's the same word that God uses in verse 12 when he says to Moses, hey, Moses, you think you're inadequate? I am with you. I will go with you. Well, what should I say your name is? My name is I am who I am. Kind of sometimes that expression, that language is used with other things. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. Or I will have compassion on who I have compassion. I am who I am. Meaning, you can absolutely 100% go to bat that I am who I am. I exist. I absolutely exist. And everything about me is contained in who I am. I am the I am. And so the way you can tell them my name is kind of a play on words. It is Yahweh, or L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D in our Old Testament. I am the Lord. This is the name that you can call me, and this is the name I'm to remember from generation to generation. What's really significant, interesting to me about that, as I've been reading too, is there are a lot of names or titles of God in the Old Testament. You have like El Shaddai, like the all-sufficient or almighty one. You have Elohim, you have El Roy, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, Jehovah Jireh, we might have heard, the Lord provides. A lot of different names or titles of God that are born out of Israel's and people's experiences with God. And so these names and titles kind of come in. But what's significant is that with Yahweh is only used in the Old Testament when God is talking to, referring to, or talking about, talking with his covenant special people. In fact, a lot of these other titles, like El Roy, the God who sees, El is used like within other things, seeing is used in other things. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, healing is used in other situations, etc. But Yahweh is not used with any other situation or any other God. It is just uniquely God's name. In fact, it's almost, you could say, it is his surname or his special name with his special people. You see, the Philistines don't call him Yahweh. The Philistines call him the God of Israel. The Egyptians don't call him Yahweh. They call him the God of Israel. But with Israel, this is my special name. It's like, Moses, my name is Yahweh. That's what you can call me, and that's what my people can call me. Not the Egyptians, not the Philistines, not the Canaanites, Hittites, Jebusites, Perizzites. Nice job, Jerry. None of those. Only you, my special people. So what was the significance? I think there are, at least there's many, but I think there are three things that were significant for Moses in this situation that I just want to highlight. And then what is the significance for you and I? And the first thing, I think, the significance for Moses was that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is a living God. They have been down in Egypt for 400 years. Was he dead for 400 years? Was he active for Yahweh he exists. And he absolutely exists. He existed in the past, he exists in the present, he exists in the future. Because our God is a living God. Think about the gods of Egypt. I mean, we know that they weren't real gods, but how did they know that they were gods? All right, well, let's see. This particular God's the God of crops. Well, we're going to make some sacrifices this year. At the end of the season, we have crops. Yeah, our God is real. The next year, we make sacrifices. The crops don't come up. Maybe we disappointed our God. We need to offer more sacrifices. See, that was the Egyptian experience and the experience of the people of Canaan. That was their experience with their gods. That they are the ones that name their gods. They are the ones that basically define what is the activity of their gods. But not Yahweh. Yahweh comes to Moses, the bush is on fire, it doesn't burn up, and Yahweh speaks to Moses. And he says, I am a living God. Unlike the gods of Egypt that are nothing, I am a living God. Now, is it beneficial to know a God who's alive versus a God who doesn't exist? I'm just saying, all right? He exists, but I think there was something else that was significant. Not only was he a God who is real, but a second significance is that this God, Yahweh, is a God who is personal. He's a personal God. He came to Moses. Moses didn't come to him. The direction's important. In Egypt, do the gods come to the people, or do the people have to go to the gods? You see, as we read the Bible, everything is personal to God. Everything he does is personal. He's a God that comes to us. He doesn't wait for us to run to him. He's the one that comes to us. He's the one that initiates everything. Because left on our own, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? He's a God who is personal. He shares his name, which is incredibly personal. All of us probably have been out and about this week, and we've talked to people. We might have had conversations, say at a grocery store or somewhere, but we didn't exchange names. It's just kind of a pass-by acquaintance. It's nothing personal. But Yahweh is a God who is a living God. He is a God who is a personal God. He wants to come right up and close. He shares his name. I mean, what gets more personal when you meet somebody, you know, than their name? You share your name. Which is a third thing, I think, that the significance of his name. And that is when you share your name with someone, it's an invitation to a relationship. Our God is a relational God. He absolutely exists. He's a God who wants to get up and close and personal with us. And that up close and personal isn't for some specific task, but it is for a relationship. He is Yahweh. He desires a relationship. He is in relationship with his covenant people. You see, up to this point, they knew what he had done in the past, but the people of Israel did not understand that their God, who is a living God, is a God who has been watching over them, a God who has seen their misery, a God who has not abandoned them, a God who is in control of the situation and circumstances, a God that has purposed their existence in their 400 years before the 400 years even came to pass. He said, this is what's going to happen because of what a loving God wants to do in and through and with his people. And now he has come. He says, this is who I am. I am Yahweh. I am a living God. I am a personal God. And I am a God that has shared my name with you, my special people, because I am in relationship with you. He has come to us. He didn't wait for us to do the right things to come to him. Everything is personal with him. It's all a relationship with him. He said, I am who I am. I exist. I am Yahweh. I guarantee with my very self that I am for you and I am with you in this endeavor that I am sending you, Moses. And I am going to be with you every step of the way. I am your God. My name is Yahweh. The rest of the Old Testament, you see this playing out in all the different situations and all the stories. You see God showing who he is, his character, his nature, his authority, his majesty, his work in history, his reputation. Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, hey, our God is Yahweh, and he said you need to let us go. Remember what Moses said? I don't know your Yahweh. I don't know who that is. And how powerful can he be? You're our slaves. So how great is your God? Nope, not going to let you go. In fact, I'm going to make life harder. And throughout that whole process, he says, I want my people to know who I am experientially because I am with them and I'm going to walk with them and I'm going to show myself. The name Yahweh is going to grow and grow and grow and grow in their hearts and minds as they walk with him and experience life with him. When they walk away or forget him, things really don't go so well. Egypt is going to know who Yahweh is. The land of Canaan is going to know who Yahweh is. Remember the story of Rahab, right? She says, yeah, the whole land has a fear of your God because we have heard what he has done. When Moses talks to his father-in-law Jethro and says, here's what happened, Jethro believes in Yahweh because he's heard of what Yahweh has done. You have a group of people that basically are in trouble, and God destroys the entire Egyptian army. Yahweh does that. And so they sing praises to Yahweh. You see, as we've been studying Israel, past, present, and future, Israel today has forgotten who Yahweh is. They've forgotten that he is the real living God, that he is personally covenant, made promises to them, and that he wants a relationship with them. And they rejected him. How do we know they rejected him? So Joel 2:32 says, everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved. Paul picks that up in Romans 10, referring to Jesus. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul equates Yahweh, the personal God of Israel, is embodied in Jesus. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what does it mean to call? So I got into a fight once. I know, it's surprising. I was like in kindergarten or first grade. I got off the bus and got into a fight. Apparently a kid punched me in the face. I don't remember it. All I know is the story is my mom tells it to me. I got punched in the face, and she could see me kind of, you know, walking, you know, down the sidewalk to the house, right? I get inside the door. I guess I grabbed my mom and just started bawling. I was safe once I was where? With my mom. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. What are you running to? You're running to a person. Those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are you calling? What are you are calling saying, I want salvation or I want you. Those who want you find safety. Psalm 9:10, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Yahweh, have never forsaken, never abandoned, never gotten rid of those who want you. What is the name Yahweh? We hear the name Yahweh today. Do we hear all of the character and the attributes behind that? The nation of Israel throughout the Old Testament had so many experiences to experience what Yahweh means and his name and reputation that followed that, and it just kind of built over time. You and I get to read the Old Testament and we say, wow, what an amazing God who loves people despite everything about them, is this the same God who exists today? Is this same God I want to be personal today? Is this same God I want a relationship with mankind today? And the answer is absolutely yes. When you call in the name of Jesus, what do you want? Do you want your life to get better, or do you want a person? Because it is about the person who is real, a person who is personally invested in you, a person who wants to walk through life with you. You see, the Bible ends with this very thing, Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. Is that what life is heading toward? Is that what your life is about? Is that what this coming week is moving toward? That there's a God who is real, who wants to get personal in your life and wants a relationship with you? And he's revealed himself. He's actually come and offered his life as a sacrifice for our sin so that he could dwell with us forever. Is that what this is all about? I mean, is that why we're here this morning? Are we here just so that I can get some helpful ideas and tips for this week? I want my life to be a little bit better than it was last week, so hopefully I can get some nuggets here on Sunday, and then I can finish my plans for this coming week. Or is life about a relationship with the living God? That the invitation, those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus, shall be saved. What do you get with salvation? You get Jesus. What did I get when I got married? I got Mindy and everything else that came with it. But there's no marriage life without Mindy. I think sometimes we forget that. There's no Christian life without Christ. But we get so focused on the things that we do that we forget it's about a relationship with the God who knows us and loves us. A relationship that starts the moment you meet Jesus and lasts for all eternity. And that relationship is with God as he has revealed himself all the way back at the beginning of the Bible with his covenant special people. His name is Yahweh. He is a God who is living, a God who is personal, a God that invites relationship with his people and all the promises and everything that come with that. Israel rejected that for a season, and that invitation has come to us. And we can accept or reject it just like Israel did. So what does the name Yahweh mean? What is embodied in that for Moses? What does embody that for us? The fullness of that includes understanding who Jesus is and knowing him and relating to him. So this week, what would you like? Would you like just for, you know, to get some nuggets so that you can go on your week? Or do you want to walk this week hand in hand with Jesus in the experiences that come? What are we here for? What is your life about? And as you've come here this morning, what is it that you hope to get in this day? There's a God. I believe he exists, is real. I believe he wants to get personal in my life. And I am convinced that he has destined and purposed me to have a relationship with him. That's why I was created. And I believe that same desire is what he has for each of us and everyone outside these doors. It's what life is about. Unless we forget, He's a God who wants to walk with us. His response to Moses, I will be with you. Father, help us to understand this. I confess it's so easy in my life to get caught up in everything and forget you. Or I run to other things instead of running to you. Or I forget what life, what gives meaning to life. Father, help us. I mean, here we are, you know, on April 14th, 2024. And it's just a day. But it's a day filled with meaning and purpose because you are a real God who knows us, loves us, and wants us to walk with you. Father, may that be the desire of our heart, that we desire to just hold your hand this week and let you lead us. Father, help us to that end, we pray this week, that at your name it would fill our hearts with awe and wonder and joy when we hear it, because of all that you are and all that you have done and all that we have come to know you to be. Father, help us to that end, we pray this week in Jesus' name.